Turn, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We'd like to express our thanks again for all who have come tonight, and those perhaps here for the first time, a special welcome, and just pleased to see you, and thank you very much for coming. Trust that what is said might be a blessing to each one. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and notice verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and here's the question, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want to focus on that question asked by the Lord Jesus to the blind man in verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now for two more questions asked by our Lord, which could very readily be asked in this meeting tonight, please turn to John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. And notice verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Here's the question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Here's the second question asked by our Lord of this second blind man. He says, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now one more, please, over in John chapter 6, just a few pages back. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And I want to notice verse 66. Another question asked by our Lord. From that time, many of his disciples, the word and thought here is followers, went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. May God bless us the reading of his word as we apply these three questions to our hearts tonight. I love that story of that first blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. Have you read the whole story? And it's very interesting to read how that he in his condition of by the highway side begging, He said when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he says he began to cry out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And had we read the whole story, we would have read there how that the many charged him that he should hold his peace. As they would say in 1994 on the streets, "Cool it." And what did he do? It says he cried out the more a great deal, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, that can't anything but touch the heart of every believer. Because everyone here tonight who's trusted Christ can remember so clearly and so well that experience in their own life when they cried out from the heart, in one word or the other, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And then that great words recorded in Holy Writ, it says that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought. And I want to say right now on the opening of this meeting tonight, if there's anyone here and you really would like to know your sins forgiven, if you really want to know Christ and have the assurance of eternal life. Listen, without this you have nothing, not for eternity, not for this life either. This is what it's all about. Wonder why you're here or where you came from or where you're going. This is right, you're right at the doorstep. You're right, your thumb is on the switch. This is what it's all about. They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus stood still and commanded him that to be brought. And he asked him that question. He says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I like to speak to children about this. And then you ask youngsters, "Now what do you suppose that Bartimaeus would ask of the Lord?" I've never had a wrong answer on that question. You know, the little ones, they can be 8 or they can be 12, you know, in that age group. They all know the answer, that he should get his eyesight. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what this man wanted, what was important, what was the great priority. And so I want to apply the question now to our hearts tonight. If the Lord Jesus looked right into your face, I want to say this reverently because I want to emphasize the true humanity of Christ. There as he looked upon that beggar, I believe they were nose to nose. I believe it was eyeball to eyeball. As the Lord looked into the face of that dear, poor, blind beggar Bartimaeus, he'd come from heaven, the Son of God, God incarnate, God manifest in flesh, and came into the world by a virgin's womb to take upon him the likeness of men and to be found in fashion as a man, took the place of a servant in order that he might become obedient unto death. The Bible says even the death of the cross. And the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Glory, the eternal deity, the one by whom all things consist, the one who was before all things, he looks into the eyes of that man, those blind eyes, and he says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" You know, when he got his eyesight, the very first thing that man would ever see would be the blessed face of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God himself. And Bartimaeus, he didn't ask for help. I was saying the other night, he didn't ask for a seeing eye dog. There's blind people, you know, when they get to that point, finally they get that dog, and we've seen them. Amazing how they're trained. And there's people all around us. And here's in the gospel message, you're offering complete and total answer to all of man's problem in the gospel, in the offering of Christ. And they ask for a seeing eye now, when they could have their eyesight. Get it all the time. Listen, the work that Christ did on the cross, it doesn't merely deal with the symptom of sin. Hospitals deal with the symptoms of sin. That's why there's sickness. Jails, they can deal with the symptoms of sin. They don't get to the cause. The undertaker, we're all going to need him someday. And they help us. Someone passes on. They're dealing with symptoms. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. People ask us why all the problems in the world, why the wars, why the sickness, why the suffering and death. It's because there are men's on the throne. There's a usurper there. Christ came to put it all right. And the language of our heart was, away with this man. Crucify him. We'll not have this man to reign over me. You've said it. There isn't anyone in this room at one time in your experience haven't said that. It's a natural response in our wicked hearts. I say, if you want a seeing eye dog, take religion. Take religion. That's just, you know, like going to the dentist and you got a molar and it's aching. And you go to that doctor and he gives you a couple of Tylenols with codeine. And they can feel better for maybe a whole day, maybe longer. I've had men tell me, oh, I go to your gospel meetings, that I don't feel very good when I leave. You know, I go to church and they get a nice little bit of music in the background preach a few smooth things and they get a nice good holy feeling. Lasts all day. That's a seeing eye dog. That'll help, but it won't cure. And God wants to deal with the root cause. And that's what Christ meant when he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, you don't want a servant or a helper or a seeing eye dog or some extra money to help the poor blind man on the side of the road. He wants his eyesight. And that's what you can have in the gospel. We're not offering religion. This is not a philosophy. No new creed. If you want that, there's all kinds of religious places out there and you can get that, I'm sure. But that dentist, when you've been there with a toothache, if he does his job properly, he's got to do some drilling to get out the old rot. And that's what people don't like. And they sooner just pop a painkiller and carry on. We're all adult enough to know that's not the way to handle the situation. There's got to be some drilling and some work done, and that's where the gospel comes in. And maybe it's a little painful. Maybe it's a little discomforting to the conscience and to the heart. And I'm sure it hurts the pride. But that's conversion to God. And if you're going to be in heaven, that's the only way you'll ever be there. There are no exceptions. Paul says, woe unto me if I preach unto you any other gospel, which he says, and there is no other gospel. We're pleased to preach it tonight. He said in Corinthians there, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. I got saved through that verse. Just looking in the face of Christ, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And from the heart I said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And I passed from death unto life. It was through that verse. I'll tell you how it happened. I had it pointed out to me. Christ died for our sins. And the preacher said, now, whose sins now do you believe that the Lord died for? And I said, well, it says our sins. Who is that, he said. Well, I said, that's everybody. That's the whole world. Well, he says, that's right. That's true. But you know, he says, salvation is a more personal thing than that. Can you not see something else there? Christ died for our sins. Well, I says, that would be everybody. Oh, I see. Right back to Adam. Yeah, he says, that's true too. But he says, can't you see something there for yourself? And I ponder that verse. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for my sins. Ah, that's salvation. You can go on believing historically that Christ died on the cross. You know all of that. You can go to hell believing that. It's not till you come to that personal appropriation of the work of Christ to your own soul. Then you pass from death unto life. Thank God. Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. Did the Lord disappoint Bartimaeus? I'll tell you. Was he in earnest? Of course he was in earnest. People tried to tell him to hold his peace. It says he cried out the more. Listen, there'll be those who'll tell you, look, don't get excited about this. It's not that important. Wait till you're old. And then when you get old, Satan will say, look, you know, you're too old for this thing now. You've lived your life and he'll cheat you out of the whole thing. Whatever the obstacle is, your own wicked heart, your dishonest business, your love of pleasure, that special friend, there's some obstacle in everyone's path. Bartimaeus cried out the more a great deal, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord blessed him that night, that day. Then we read about another blind man. And this is a great story. Had we time to read it all? Just remarkable. And the Lord gave him his eyesight, healed him. He actually spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle and smeared it on his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool. And he washed and he came seeing. There's blind people getting their sight is... There's a number of cases. There's at least two others in the Bible where the Lord gave the eyesight. Just a beautiful little picture of men and women walking around and they seem healthy and happy, you know, but spiritually blind. Yeah, spiritually blind. Just like the Laodiceans. They said, look, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Sound like 1994? Yeah, we're good, honorable people. We're religious and we're doing quite well in life, thank you. Got nice homes and we drive a good car and life is good. And Christ said to them, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. And naked. That's the way God sees a sinful heart. Well, this man, afterwards he comes to Christ, and the Lord asks him that question. dost thou believe on the Son of God? Oh, this is so important. You've got to get to this point. Listen, this is the way life is imparted. It's through believing. There are those here tonight, I know. And up to now, you believe that eternal life was imparted, perhaps by the way you were brought up to your parents, or your church affiliation, perhaps a baptism or a confirmation, or perhaps you think it's kind of a slice scale on your lifestyle. And if you do so many good works and somehow they outweigh the bad deal, bad works, it's all going to be weighed up one day, and I want to tell you it's not that way at all. You must learn this. Please, if you don't get a grip of anything else in your soul tonight, please learn this, that you can never, never, never merit heaven. You can never merit forgiveness. It comes through accepting the gift of God. It comes through appropriating the work of someone else to your own need. And that's the work of Christ. And the Lord Jesus, he always says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? May I challenge you now tonight. Do you believe on the Son of God? Now notice the preposition. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? This isn't believing about him. Again, we meet so many. And you might say, historically, they profess to believe about the Lord. And every time they write the date, they acknowledge it, whether they realize it or not. It refers to Christ. It's a matter of believing on the Lord Jesus. This speaks of a trust, an adhering to the Lord. It's a reliance upon. And just the same if I asked you to believe on me, if you had a need, and I asked you as a friend, well, don't worry about it. Just trust me. You would have to believe something about me to be sure. And we've said words tonight about the Lord Jesus, about his deity, about his incarnation, about his vicarious death, and we refer to his resurrection. Yes, you must believe that, but you can believe that and still be lost. Where salvation comes is when you believe on the Lord Jesus, that personal trust, when you commit everything for eternity upon him personally. That's salvation. That's the great news. We get it all through the Bible. The jailer at Philippi, he asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Salvation comes not through good works, not through religion, not through anything we work at or scheme with, but it comes through faith. It comes through believing, and you must believe. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says, to him that worketh not, but believeth, his faith is counted for righteousness. The Lord Jesus said, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, concerning himself, he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And it was John the Baptist who said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, it's important that we believe on Christ personally. A time when in our life, a manner how it took place.
That we can look back to when we put that personal trust and faith in Christ personally. Thank God for this man. He did so. He did it right there. You know, he didn't know much. He didn't know too much. He just had his eyesight. A while ago, they'd asked him, they said, what about this man that gave you your eyesight? He says, is he a sinner or isn't he? And his answer was, he says, look, he says, whether he be a sinner or not, he says, I don't know. But he says, there's one thing I know. He says, whereas I was blind, he says, now I see. And you know, to the young Christian, the young believer, and not theologians, haven't been deep in the Word, they don't know a lot of these things. They can, if they're on the way to heaven, they can say this, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. There was a time when they were blind, and now there's a time when they see. That's conversion to God. And thank God for it.
And then the last one, I must read the last question. Oh, the Lord, you know, and there's those that followed him, and the going was getting rough, and there was being a lot of abuse.
And a lot that had followed him, and we read in two or three Gospels, we realized they're falling for the loaves and fishes, you know, if they could be fed. And what they could, there's a lot of curious people around.
Maybe you're coming to the meeting tonight, and that's the reason you're here. You're a little bit curious. That's all right. Come and hear the Gospel. And they turned away, and they went, follow him no more. Christ had told them. He said, if any man follow me, he says, let him take up his cross and follow me. That cross to pick up. The Lord is definite on this.
If thou shalt believe in, what to say in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus said, if your right arm offends you, cut it off. Better to go through this life with only one hand than having them both and cast into hell fire. Lord Jesus said that. He says, if it's your right eye, pluck it out. Far better to go through life blind physically than have all your members, and at the end, be cast into judgment. It's a commitment. These men turned away and they went back. And they followed no more after. They heard there was a commitment. This is big stuff. They turned around and they went back. And the Lord says then to his disciples, he says, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I'm going to put that question tonight. Those that have heard the gospel, maybe some have been here several nights through these meetings, will ye also go away? We read it all through the Bible, you know, when Paul preached, he'd go to city after city, and we read those words, and some believed, and some believed not. Oh, we urge you to believe. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Will ye also go away? I love the answer of Simon Peter. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And what we're proclaiming tonight is words of eternal life. I think of Christ, you know, they spoke of his words. They said they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. It says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Powerful word. Gracious word. I think of the psalmist, prophetically of Christ. Lord, you know, under the wrath and judgment of God for our sin. He cried those words. He says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Listen, and the words of my roaring, deep words of suffering and anguish, in order that he was able to give us the words of eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Be a trusted tonight. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God, the Bible says it, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.